The City of Trees is getting a new home for its books, but at what cost? Last February, Softy Architects and CSHQA were introduced as the designers for Boise's new public library. The library's current building will be replaced by a state-of-the-art facility that's expected to break ground in the fall of 2019. Since starting this project, the contract has cost taxpayers an estimated $22,000 in travel, meals, and hotels for that design team. Now, to be clear and to be fair, certain accommodations were guaranteed in that contract. However, some expenses have exceeded what was contractually approved. So now the city of Boise is seeking reimbursement. Don Day with BoiseDev.com dug into this issue. He wrote an exclusive story, and he joins me live in studio. Welcome, Don.
Hi, good morning, or good afternoon.
I know, right? Okay, so take me through how you first found out about this issue.
Yeah, so I mean, the thing about Boise Dev is a lot of stories start with a random tip and you think, well, this might be something and it won't, or it won't. This one actually started with an item on the Boise Guardian blog here in town. And Dave Frazier over there has a lot of trouble with City Hall, I would say, and doesn't,
that's a good way
doesn't
to put
take
it.
Kindly to a lot of what happens there. And sometimes there are things there that I don't think really meet the standard for what I would find interesting. But about a month ago, he posted that there was a line in the contract that said that Moshe Softy would actually be guaranteed first-class travel. And I thought that was interesting, and I wanted to confirm that and see if there's anything more to that. So I asked for public records from the city that not only included that contract, because Mr. Frazier actually didn't source where it came from or provide the documents, so there wasn't anything more. I couldn't find it on the city website. So I asked for the contract. I asked for the scoring that the city did to pick the architects. And then I actually asked for the records for travel. And
This was all through public
records. This was all through public records request. Yeah. And the city of Boise, to their credit, is actually really good and helpful with records requests with me, and have always been good with transparency. And so I requested that and got quite a few items. And then I kind of went through and did sort of a, not a forensic audit, but I tried to look at these expense reports and figure out who traveled here, when they traveled here, and how. And a couple things jumped out at me. One, you know, Mr. Safdie did generally travel here first class. One trip out in March cost almost $3,000 to taxpayers just in airfare. But what was really interesting to me was one of his principals also was flying first class, and that wasn't allowed for in the contract. The contract specifically said
Right. Let's talk about that, because when I read the article yesterday that you posted in the story, you did say that within that contract that Mr. Softy, per the contract.
Right.
So the city agreed to this.
Yes.
Was that he is allowed.
Yes.
To fly first class. But my understanding from what you reported was that that was him.
Yeah, just him. And the city's argument is he is a, you know, they call him a world-class architect and say that he's renowned. And Mike Journey, the mayor's spokesperson, emphasized that he does not spend a lot of time at home. And this is something that they negotiate for.
Kind of the price to pay.
Yeah, this is the cost of the freight. If they want this architect, then that's what they had to do, and they felt comfortable with it. City Council approved it. This was done through a public process. But the contract says that principals and other members will require business class accommodations for travel. And this principal, her name is Carrie Yoon, is actually one of the most frequent travelers to Boise, has been here
five times
between January and June. We don't have records past that. I'll obviously be asking for that as we go along. And she was generally flying first class. And so I went back and asked the city, like, hey, what's up with this? And they were pretty quick to say, you know what, this was an oversight. And we have asked for reimbursement from the architectural firm for those first class tickets because it's not what they agreed to. So we'll follow up on that too and kind of see what happens there and how that lays out as we go along. And then the other things in the story really are subjective and a matter of what taxpayers think is appropriate for this. And the folks that have flown in have stayed almost exclusively at the Inn at 500 Capital, which is a beautiful hotel. I got to stay there one night over Christmas.
I know, I've stayed there too.
It's amazing. But it also has the highest room rate on average in the city. Mm-hmm. And their argument is it's centrally located between the library, between City Hall and CSHQA, has a full-service restaurant. There are a couple of other properties downtown that also offer that and aren't quite as spendy. They're also not quite as nice. So some of those things, the reader has to decide what they find appropriate and what they don't. Mm-hmm. I've had really interesting feedback. A lot of people positive.
Tell me about some of that feedback.
Yeah, most of the, you know, some of the feedback fits into people's tribal wishes, right? And so most of it has been, boy, you know, this is frustrating, and this is, why do we need this big library, and what are we doing? I got an email from someone yesterday who said, you know, I usually enjoy your stories, and I didn't like this one. I thought it was biased and one-sided. And that's hard for me to say out loud as a journalist, but I wrote her back, and I said, you know what, I appreciate your feedback, and that always shapes my coverage decisions going forward. She also did say that she feels like you have to have a world-class architect if you want a world-class library. So, you know, I think that the story didn't fit into what she was hoping to see. But we all have our impressions on what we want. And what I try and do at Boise Dev is listen to the audience and produce the type of work that they're looking for. I get a lot of feedback that people tell me that they want to see more accountability and more understanding about what's happening with local governments and their tax dollars. And this is one of the stories that fits right into that mission.
Well, and what was interesting to me about this story was, when we look at the contract, which you said, this contract was approved by City Council.
Yes.
So there was nothing, you know, underground secret about this contract.
No.
I mean, city officials, city council, they all saw it. They all agreed to it. But they agreed that Moshi Safdie would have these accommodations, would fly first class.
Right.
And if we're honest, he's probably the one person of that team that won't be here the most.
Right. And he's been here three or four times, including a couple of weeks ago. But in March, they had kickoff meetings, and it cost taxpayers $10,000. Mm-hmm. And people flew in from all over the country. They had team lunches. They went to Lekuona. You know, I asked a person who works in the building with me, who's not related to Boise Dev, you know, what do you think about this? Because I wasn't trying to get a barometer. And I said, you know, do you feel it's okay? And her response to me was, you know, I'm never going to get to fly first class, and I'm not ever going to be able to stay at the Inn at 500 Capital, but I have to pay these taxes. And that struck me and actually sort of galvanized me thinking that this was a story worth pursuing, because people have to decide what they're willing to tolerate. The designs,
and what they're willing to pay for.
Totally. And the designs for this library are beautiful. The renderings that we've seen are amazing. It certainly would be a showplace for Boise. But current estimates for the design are pushing $100 million. It's a lot of money.
Right.
And taxpayers have to have an ongoing conversation about what they want. And these stories help people understand what's happening so that they can make those decisions.
Yeah, and where their money is going.
Yeah.
So my question to you also would be, are you going to reach out, or have you reached out to the Safdie company? Because my question when I read this was, I do think it must have been an oversight from the city. Whomever's doing the checks and balances. I mean, I've had expense reports before where, I mean, you turn in your expense reports, you turn in your receipts, and you get reimbursed, right?
Right.
So if someone is not mindfully going through everything, something like this could happen. However, when I read it, my first thought was, well, these architects should have known better.
Yeah, I'll tell you, anybody who's, I used to do expense reports in my corporate life, and they're terrible. Imagine looking at somebody else's expense reports and trying to understand it. It's even harder. I didn't reach out to the architectural firm, and I didn't for a simple reason, and that is, it's between the city and that firm right now to kind of figure out what to do. And I didn't know what they were going to tell me other than no comment, or, well, it was an oversight. Mm-hmm. So it didn't meet my standard of what I thought needed to go into the story. This really is a City of Boise story at the end of the day, and it's their business relationship with the architects that I thought was important, not necessarily what the architect's going to say. Like, you know, was it an oversight on their part? Maybe, but...
Or it's just nice to fly first class.
It's just nice to fly first class.
Right,
sure.
Right.
Yep.
And what was the feedback from the city on this? Because like you said, to their credit, I mean, they are transparent when it comes to getting public records requests.
Yes.
I mean, they said it was an oversight.
They did. And so, you know, I'll just be transparent. Mayor's spokesperson was not happy with the story yesterday, not in the substance. And to Mike Journey, his credit, he commented extensively and I think made the story better. He was not happy with the fact that the story mentioned the investigation into Mayor Coles about 15 years ago. And one of the things that I tried to emphasize was that's in the story because those effects in this town are very long. People who are here remember it. And I try and think of what happens when a story gets posted and what the social reaction is and what people will say. Mm. And I knew that if I posted the story without including that and explaining that, the people who lived here would say, oh, this is just like the coal scandal.
And
it's
it is not.
Not.
Sure. Let's be very clear.
And I think it's really obvious from the story that it's not. But what I was worried about is one person would say that, another person would say it, and then it kind of spirals. So by actually explaining it, I
you're
think
you're hoping
that it
to
helps
not muddy the water.
Right. And I did I did after hearing from him add a little bit of phrasing to emphasize that, you know, it's not the same type of thing. Because what's in my head and what comes through on the copy for different people may be different. But, you know, that's an ongoing thing, and I think that hopefully the city felt that it was fair.
And I've got to wrap you up. Thanks, yep. Don, for coming in today.